Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Talk to the Father. Bless His holy name. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Cause your spirit man to attend. Manta brato frate faradisa. If that they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak into yourself in tongues, in hymns and in spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Go ahead. Pray in the Spirit. Chant in the Spirit. Give yourself liberty in the presence of God. Rakibaros te parakina. Ragabada Sabre Keperina Sabakaya Rabendo Sopra Katabina Ragabadon Zarabadev Kapradigas Mantavaro Sabrakira Ragabondos in the building of yourself upon your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. Ariga Padoza Fragatira Mantakiba Radosto Fragatabana Rakiros Tova Safatina Sadaka. Ragadabondre paragada, rasabda fracto fregatina, ragabadonda labana, manda kibara kibara, rabedatina sadosta, riana mantavira nosto fragatina sabrante. Give your spirit liberty, ascend in the Spirit, reado pretapira, rabura sebak, radidadonda labacarados, retetecapira paragadas. Ratondo fracta eto maragatia ratoata paradina. Is the day that wait upon the Lord, they mount up with wings like the eagles. They mount up with wings. Can you mount up with wings? Aratoata pepapadira ratoata sadadagabak riato patas rastavina ratoata lindo parastavea ragadadabonda ariado sopacarado sabacatia ragabandagabonda ariada sova. Raduna Sabakaya, Aratos Tabela Kabaya, Rakapatadia Salabando, Arosto Fracta, Eredagatina, Mantaradia, Sola Babarina, Arwate, Alaladusta, Atopa, Caroste, Aberadona, Atarina, Rajoa, Seba, Radiano, Malanoada, Kirabaya, Ampara Dagabonta, Asuate, Azusa, Aparate, Evarado, Aradosa, Kabas, Kabaya, in the eyes of not seen. Ears have not heard, neither has he entered the heart of men, the things that God has in store for them that love him. He said, however, these things are revealed by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches the heart of God. The Spirit searches the deep things of
of God. It says that except for we do not know what to pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit Himself helpeth our infirmity with groanings that cannot be uttered. Can you pray in the Spirit? Can you give birth in the Spirit? He said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. As soon as Zion travailed, Ararona Tabak, Araradina Takapadak, Afredo Storia, Mantabarush, Radwash Tak, Rakto Pate, Azizo Paragata. He said, ask of me, I will give you the hidden for an inheritance, the uttermost part of the earth for a possession. Ask of me, ask of me. Nations can be delivered on the altar of prayer. Nations, Sarado, Marota, Azodo, Macarina, Aragadono. There are things you are pregnant with. Dimensions of the Spirit are locked on your inside. It's the dead that believe. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let those fountains gush out. Let those rivers gush out. Manterero, Afurara, Avararani, Azazoto, Aziaka, Parato, Oria, Namakadura, Aravadira, Zorabakate, Azora, Sabah. Fire! The warrior taught the magic. Azondo, Prakte, Belele Labana, Mentoria, Paragato. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation, Shekinah is here. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation, Yahweh is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua, Shekinah is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua, Yahweh. Yahweh, I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Shekinah is here. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Yahweh is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Shekinah is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Yahweh is here. Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. Hey, 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 Yahweh, 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 hey, hey, Yahweh, hey, 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 the sound of creation, Shekinah is here. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation, Yahweh is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua, Shekinah is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua, Yahweh is here. Yahweh. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Your life cannot be the same again. Your stories have changed tonight. Wherever you are, the hand of God will locate you. And I prophesy over you tonight. Let the little one among us become a thousand. Let the small one become a great nation. He said he lifted the beggar from the donkey. He establishes him among princes that he may inherit throne. I confer upon you the grace and the dimensions of nobility. Receive the power to reign. Receive the power to reign. Receive the power to reign in the name of Jesus. My God, Manta Franco Arrero Nadakaya Rabagasta Baratana Parat Zatina Paragatuate Ebrota Barito on ground on line. I declare over you, let the sounds of heaven come upon your habitation. Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Every embargo placed on your life until now, they are shattered in the name of Jesus. Every hindrance you have suffered until now, I speak at one sent. In the name of Jesus the Christ, they are lifted off your shoulders. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I write a commandment over your destiny. Arise, shine. Your light has come. This is the morning of your life. You shall be the head and not the tail. I speak speed into your destiny. Overtake your enemies. Step into your new season. Step into the gates of your new era. In the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout glory.
Mantles have been given to the church once again. Mandates have been given to the church once again. For the kings to be born, for the ancients to arise, for the mantles to be taken, for the seasons to be born. Ali, Ali, oh, Ali, oh, Ali, oh, Ali, Ali, oh, oh, Ali, Ali, oh.
Somebody give the Lord a shout! Shout glory! Shout glory! This is the season of your rising. No power under heaven can stop it. There is a declaration from the height of the heavens. Your promotion is now. Your rising is now. Your lifting is now. No force can stop it. And I prophesy as a servant of God on the strength of my priesthood, on the weight of my calling. Arise, shine. Arise, shine. Arise, shine. On the authority of the scripture and on the power of the move of the spirit, I decree over you, arise, shine. Arise, shine. In the mighty name of Jesus.
And I do dabu and no. Oh God, do dabu and no. Oh, him in the air. I'm a dance with
me. And I do dabu and no.
Oh
God, do dabu and no.
Oh, him in the air. I'm a dance with
me. And I do dabu and no. Capacity of man is enlarging. Some of you from this service, you will grow in capacity to take cities. You are becoming a city from this service. It said you are a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. I speak into the waters of your spirit. I speak into the dimensions of your spirit. Enlarge. Down on line. Receive that power in the name of Jesus.
And I do double 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 and I do
Your Jerichos are going down now. Those who thought they have seen all of you, a new dimension is about to open. Spiritual metamorphosis. Men changing dimensions, changing seasons by the power of the Holy Ghost. That is your story. That is your story. People will see you differently from this service. Because now honor has come upon your life. Speed has come upon your life. Progress has come upon your life. Power has come upon your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lift your hands and honor the Lord. Thank you, Father. The Lord is telling me now that some of you will ascend to levels of international recognition. I'm telling you, 2 months ago, nobody knew you. But in the next 2 months, you shall become a household name. You shall rise to international capacity. Men will celebrate you. Nations will call for you. And you will display the power and the glory of God. This is your time. This is your season. And therefore shine. 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 In the name of Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. My God. I need to share some things tonight. Otherwise, we would have pressed. See, the waters of the Spirit are robust tonight. See, I'm sensing power. Power on my inside. I'm just containing myself. Listen. I'm containing myself. There is an explosion about to take place in the Spirit. Men will appear. They will appear and they will take over. The Bible says, suddenly, it said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it said they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. They heard a sound, and men that were known as fishermen suddenly emerged as international and global icons. I speak over you, just as the Holy Ghost broke upon them. That is how you will break upon your generation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Somebody has shifted levels. No, you have shifted. You have shifted. Give the Lord the shout. Imole Deo. Okoko Parada. Imole Deo. Okoko Parada. Imole Deo. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. Thank you so much, choir. God bless you. Tonight, can you give me some volume? My voice. I've troubled this voice. Our technical people have been working, trying to do a few things, so the lights, some of them are not on and all of that. Bear with us. I just hope it's bright enough for those watching online. Those of you following online, you're welcome. Thank you for joining the service. You know, God is so awesome.
2 days ago, the Lord was telling me, he said, become conscious about those who follow online. He said, pray for them. Prophesy for them. They are active part of the service. And so from this service, every day I will prophesy over them. Yes. Because distance is not a barrier in the spirit. They are part of the global family. He said, carry them along. Be conscious about them, just as you are of those in the auditorium. And so everybody following us online, your story has changed. Your story has changed. As we pastor them here, we will pastor you over there. And everything they receive here, you will receive the same measure by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. I just want to manage time quickly, share some things and make some declarations. Some very violent and brutal declaration. Some of you are about to enter your destiny by power. You will enter by power. Hear this. The way God works is that he causes men to emerge suddenly so that the devil is taken unawares. Nobody knew about David. All of a sudden, the man appeared and confronted Goliath. Saul looked at him and said, where are you coming from? That guy you want to fight is a man of war from his youth. It doesn't matter, I have appeared. He said, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, he appeared in the palace and said to the king, as surely as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no rain or dew. They heard the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness, suddenly a man emerged. Nobody heard about it. Where are you coming from? He entered the synagogue. He violated their protocol. He carried a scroll and began to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. So as he was reading, said, who are you? Where are you coming from? It doesn't matter. I was in the wilderness. I was in the cave of Adullam. That is not when you know us. That's when we take root. But when the hour comes, we emerge. We emerge. And we come to take over. We are not coming to negotiate with status quo. We come to take over. A generation will emerge with power and with dimensions that have never been known. That's how we break protocols in this kingdom. We break protocols. Joseph stood up from the prison and went straight to the palace. There's no time to follow class 1, class 2 to class 10. God had trained him in the wilderness. When he showed up, he told Pharaoh what to do. And Pharaoh said, as surely as the Lord liveth, there's no one in your class. Take over. According to thy word shall the nations be ruled. I speak over somebody. This is the season of your emergence. This is the season of your emergence. The many years of process that nobody knew. This is the time for your coronation. And I decree by the power of the Holy Ghost, arise and shine. Sit down. Let me teach some. Oh God. See, there are men in captivity. There are men in pain. There are men in sorrow. There are great destinies languishing away. A warrior church must arise. That when we meet anybody, it doesn't matter if you were in the marie clay. It doesn't matter if you were in the pit. You will rise up and sit with kings and inherit thrones because of the glory of the Lord that will come upon your life. And you are the one I'm talking about. You are the one. You hearing me now. You are the one I'm talking about. He said, weeping may endure for the night. He said, joy comes in the morning. He said, our light affliction are but for a moment. They work for us an exceeding weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are unseen. He said, the things that are seen, they are temporal. But the things that are unseen, they are eternal. Somebody will step into a realm of eternal weight of glory. Realms of eternal weight of glory. Realms of eternal weight of glory. Because that's what the Lord has come to do to you, with you, and in you this season. There are nations waiting for your manifestation. There are thrones waiting for your manifestation. And from tonight they cease to be vacant. Because you have stepped into your ordination. You have come into your season. And you will manifest. In the mighty name of Jesus. Sit down for a moment. Let's read some scriptures. I came with vexation. I came with vexation. The church is not a move to be pitied. The church is not a move to be helped. We are the answer of this world. We are the light of this world. We are the salt of the earth. If we live here, this earth becomes useless. The moment we are carried from the earth is destroyed. We are the reason the earth remains. The sun is not what is keeping the earth. The moon is not what is keeping the earth. Believers, Christians, we are the ones keeping this world. The day we leave, this world ends. And so we are not here to be pitied. Everyone hearing me, you will take over. You will take over. Everywhere God has planted you, you will begin to function as the head, not the tail. By the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm just seeing a fire fall on somebody. A fire. Something that looked like a ball of fire. I just saw that vision now. He collided with someone. And he broke every force holding him down. This is a warrior. This is a lion that has been tamed for so long. Wherever you are listening to me from, let that fire encounter you. Let that fire collide with you. And let it unleash your warrior dimension. Let it unleash your lion dimension. Take that fire by the Spirit.
Chapter 1 verse 18. Let's read Bible. If we continue with this thing, we will break into something that we can't control. Zechariah. Do we have the scriptures projected quickly? It said, then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And these. And he answered me, these are the horns. Because the devil knows that God needs men. They corrected. He had been in and rose for. Jesus had to descend from his glorious throne and went to Peter. What do you mean, go fishing? I didn't die in vain. You are the reason my death will not be in vain. Get the potential of nations will not be fulfilled. Thor, an abomination under the sun. He said, princes are trekking. Why? So he had a well-defined modus operandi to stop men, and God is in the business of raising men. God is in the business of lifting men. In Psalm 3, from verse 2 and 3, the psalmist said, many are they that rise up against me. Demons, principalities, wicked men. He said in verse 3, but thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me. My glory, the lifter up of my head. Because one of the things God is doing today and has always been doing is to lift up the heads of men. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 8, the Bible told us what the devil did to men that had the potential of royalty. Men that should function as princes. See where the devil put them. He turned them to poor and beggarly people. But when God showed up, he said he raised up the poor out of the dust. How can a man who should inherit thrones dwell in the dust? And the beggar from the dunghill. And he set them amongst princes that they may inherit thrones of glory. So the original destiny of these men who are in the God wrote their destiny. He wrote thrones of glory. But when they came into the earth, the devil reduced them into poor that dwelt. Do you know that some of our sisters that are prostituting today, according to ordination, they are supposed to function like Esther, queens and princesses. But those destinies are waiting. Do you know some of our brothers today who are criminals are supposed to be creative entrepreneurs from the spirit tonight? Every force holding anyone down, they give way tonight. God is in the business. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 7 to verse 9, the Bible began to reveal to us the strategic pathway that God uses if he wants to raise men. He said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto your glory. He knew the devil would attack your destiny. He knew. And so he ordained a wisdom and a mystery for your glory. In verse 8, he says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So when the devil knows what God is doing, he tries to avoid it. That's why God keeps it hidden. So when they are trying to destroy and frustrate you, even their effort is added to your rising. That's why I say all things worketh together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So there is a strategy that God is deploying for lifting men. They are mysteries. And these mysteries, demons and princes cannot know them. And tonight, I want to share with you six of the basic mysteries that God has structured into his wisdom for your rising. That when you know them and hold on to them, no matter what the devil does, he can't stop you. Hear me. Them and hold on to them. No matter what the devil does, he can't stop you. Hear me. Those of us who are standing, we are not standing because the devil has not tried. He tried and is still trying. But every time he fights, we go up. Every time he throws his arrow, we move up. So it is paining the devil, but there's nothing he can do about it. We are here to tell him you can do nothing. And that should be the destiny of every believer walking on the face of the earth today. The devil will try, but he can't stop you. But it comes by a mystery. There are horns that have risen to scatter Jerusalem and Judah, that no man lift up his head. But there is a mystery for the rising of man. And so the devil is in the business of burying the heads of men so they don't rise. Because God needs men. The body of Christ needs men. Nations need men. But God is in the business of lifting men. However, the strategy for lifting men is a mystery. And if you know it, blessed are you
Because the presence of the devil, the antics of the devil, the attacks of the devil will all become part of the resources God will use to lift you up. Because at that level, all things will work together for your good. And so what are the spiritual systems that are put in place for the rising of men? Number one is called ordination. Because God knows that the devil will come for everyone. He wrote the destiny of everyone before they were born. So if they find that destiny and they are working in it, there is an insurance policy that is put in place to ensure that the operation of the devil can't stop them. So everyone born into the earth realm has an insurance system protecting his rising. The only problem people have that makes them end up in frustration is that they step out of ordination. And I will tell you, the devil is not joking about this matter. You study about Jesus. Before Jesus was born, astrologers saw his star from the east. And they traced him. He was just 8 days on earth. They knew the exact location where he was. And they came there. And even when his mother, his father, and no prophet knew who he was, these guys x-rayed his destiny correctly and said he's a king. Before the prophet could pick him, before he was even dedicated on the altar, the devil had traced him. Said, this is a king. And because they saw him and made the mistake of telling Herod, see the way the devil works. Herod did not look for 1 month old babies. This guy was just 8 days old. The devil created a long buffer. Every child under the age of two, kill him. I don't want to give any chance. I don't want to allow any lapse. This young boy, they said, is a king. I don't know where he's coming from. I don't know what he represents. But kill every child that is 2 years old so that we will not make the mistake of missing him. In case they didn't calculate his date of birth well, let's create a good enough buffer so that he must be included. But because the Lord was functioning by the dictates of ordination, there was enough insurance. If you are working in ordination, if angels need to be mobilized, they'll be mobilized. If men need to dream, they will dream. If systems need to shake, they will shake, but it won't go down. And we saw that every time Jesus celebrated his birthday, if he ever did, he was the only person in his generation. Because the devil wiped off everybody. The only thing that kept him was ordination. And that was how he lived throughout his life. Every step Jesus took, you will see that it was spoken by Isaiah, by Jeremiah. So everything he was doing, including where Jesus was living, was captured in prophecy. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. So he followed the dictates of ordination because he knew that was his insurance. And so when a man finds ordination, his rising is a must. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, he said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you to be a prophet. I know all the battles of prophets, but you will fulfill destiny because it's an ordination. I ordained you to be a prophet. Listen, the greatest manipulations of life find expression in the corridors of ordination. I will read the story of a man to you from scripture. You will see the synergy between God, men, animals, systems to make sure that that man rises. 1 Samuel chapter 1 from verse 9. Look at the excellency of ordination. That when a man is caught in the web of ordination, the forces that go to work to make sure he succeeds, they are many. If God needs to use animals, he will use animals. If he needs to use prophets, he will use prophets. Anything God needs to use, he will use to make sure you prosper. 1 Samuel 1 from verse 9, from verse 1. See the story of a young man called Samuel. How ordination manipulated him into kingship. Even though naturally he felt he wasn't qualified. Can we be fast? Who is on the media? 1 Samuel 9 from verse 1. Our people are doing some setup. So we are having some technical hitches and glitches. But I want us to read this scripture. And I want them to project it. I want to show you something. See, this thing will give you confidence. It will give you audacity. And it will also make you restless until you find your ordination. Until you find your purpose. Until you find your destiny. Because the level of insurance that is wired into ordination is enormous. It's not easy for a man to die. It's not easy for a man to be killed. When a man is killed, he cooperated with the devil. It takes a lot for a man created of God to go down. He said you were carefully and wonderfully made. He said the very hairs of your head, they are numbered. God took time to work on you. He said now, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Bekorat, the son of Appiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. Verse 2, it said, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly man. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Go to the next verse. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. This is where powers of ordination began from. Even donkeys were manipulated. As you read down in this scripture, you discover that no donkey was missing. Because nobody found them, they came back on their own. But when ordination is about to be activated, even animals will have to cooperate. He said, the asses went lost, and Kish said unto his son, Saul, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, and go seek the asses. Even this one was ordination. You don't need your son to go and look for donkeys. There are too many servants available to go look for donkeys. It's not the job of sons to look for donkeys. But when ordinations are at work, if they need to send you, they will send you. If they need to go somewhere, you will have to go somewhere. All of this was a setup from heaven. Go to the next verse. And he passed through Mount Ephraim. You are going to see that this guy walked through five cities. But it was ordination driving him. What kind of donkey will travel and travel from one city to two cities to three cities? Even his brain was manipulated. He said he went through the Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha. But they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim. And they went and they were not. And they passed through the land of the Benjamites. But they found them not. The guy walked through five cities. He thought he was looking for donkeys. After he arrived where ordination had earmarked, that was when he came to his senses and said, let's go back. My father will be worried about me. Oga, why didn't you think about that thing? Even his brain was manipulated. See the next verse. And when they were come to the land of Zuf, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, let us return. Let my father leave caring for the asses and take thought of us. Go to the next verse. Verse 6. The servant said unto him, do you see that even the servant he picked was not a mistake? Not every servant knew what this one knew. The servant said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God. And he is an honorable man. All that he said cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure, he can show us the way that we should go. So even a prophet has to join you in looking for missing asses. Ordinations are at work. Go to the next verse. I'm showing you what is put in place for your destiny. You who is crying, you are afraid, you are frustrated. You didn't know what God planned for you. He said, eyes have not seen, neither ears heard. He said, has he not entered into the hearts of men the things God has planned for you? You are the one who think there was no plan for you. The plan that was on ground for your coming is too robust for you to even discern. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring? And I will talk about this. This is another principle that Saul knows. The principle of honor. Because it's one of the secrets of rising. He said, what shall we bring to the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels,
and there is not present to bring to the man of God, what have we? Hear what the servant said. A servant suddenly had savings. This is a slave. So when others were spending, the reason he didn't spend his money was because ordination was at work. You can't spend this money. You can't send it to your father. You can't keep it anywhere. Keep it. This money has a purpose beyond your appetite. Do you know how many times this slave was hungry? But there was a law that he can't spend that money. Keep it. And when the one that his ordination was in question did not have money, a slave offered money to a king. He said, and the servant answered so again, and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver that will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. They still thought it was about the donkey. Go to the next verse. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For that which is now called prophet before time is called a seer. Next verse. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. This is the sixth city they were going to, because ordination was manipulating them. And in verse 11, and as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water. And they said to them, is the seer here? So even those ladies that went to fetch water at that time were manipulated. When the Bible says all things work together for you for good, this is a picture of it. See what they told them. And they answered them and said, he is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now. They are answering beyond the questions they were asked. Make haste now, for he came today to the city. That means even the prophet, was that day he came. He said, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. And as they were going, in verse 13, as soon as ye came into the city, you shall straightway find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that forbidden. Now therefore, get up, for about this time you shall find him. So they knew when the prophet came to the city, they knew the exact time they were going to find the prophet. Are these people just going to fetch water? People who went to fetch water have this level of information and precision. Ordination. Go to the next verse. And they went up into the city. And when they were coming to the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up into the high place. Go to the next verse. Now, this is where the picture became clear. The Lord had told Samuel in his ears a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him captain over my people. You now see that when Saul's father called Saul was planned, because there is a timing, there is an appointment. So the time Saul's father woke up and called Saul was targeted. The city they were rigmaroling, passing through, was manipulated. The people they were talking to, all of that was part of the puzzle, so that they can meet at that appointed time. They say, appoint him captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people. Behold, because of their cry, it's come unto me. Ordination. When ordination is at work, animals, men, prophets, strangers, angels, God himself will come together to ensure that your steps are ordered into your destiny. The moment Samuel saw him, see what happened again, to show you that God was in active partnership with everybody that was walking. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people.
there is too much plan for you to fail. There is too much arrangement for you to fail. And if you go to chapter 10 verse 1, Samuel began to play his role. In fact, if you read down a little, Samuel told him, "Don't worry, you will sleep with me today." He said, "Meanwhile, the asses you are looking for have been found." So the donkeys went home on their own. They were not missing. He said, "The asses you are looking for, they have been found. But you come with me. You shall eat with me tonight." And destiny began to play out. Chapter 10, verse 1. You will see what began to happen. The manipulation continued. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord had anointed thee to be captain over my people?" You know, at this point, even Saul didn't know there was something on his life. If we read down in chapter 9, you will see that Saul said, "Why are you saluting me like this? I am a Benjamite. And even among the Benjamites, my family is the least." But ordination had picked him out. And when Samuel anointed him, he said, "Is it not because the Lord has made you captain?" And he began to speak. Then Samuel, Samuel spoke to him, "When thou art departed from me today," he said, "then shalt thou find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son?" So even the father is now realizing, "I made a mistake sending this boy. I should not have sent him. It was ordination." He went further. "Then shalt thou go forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God of Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee the two loaves of bread which thou shalt receive of their hand." Are you seeing the things happening? You are the one who think it's coincidence. If a wise man begins to read your life to you, you'll be shocked that some of the things that were happening to you that you call luck and chance were manipulated. "After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with psaltery and tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy." And it says something will happen, "and the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee." This is when many people discover their accord. Whereas before you get here, most of the manipulations taking place were already designed. Happen, you will become conscious of it, and you will begin to walk in accordance to the prompting that you receive, because you will know that you are not ordinary. Everybody who came here, there was a destiny written. Everybody who came here, there was an ordination mapped out. Did you not read here the testimony of the sister the other time? When I taught on ordination, she said she was to be operated, and the devil came to her and told her, "You will die." And suddenly she remembered my voice, and she said, "No, ordination is for my life. Something was written about me. I will not die." That was out here that you have finished. Tell him, "No, something was written, and finishing is not part of it." When next the devil tells you, "You will not see tomorrow," tell him, "No, something is written. I am not here because I'm smart. I am not here because I'm wise. I am here because I am sent. I'm on an errand. And the one who sent me has prepared a strong system to keep me. The one who sent me is aware where I should go. And it cannot be taken unawares." Listen, nothing can kill you if you know you are sent. Nothing can kill you if you know there's an ordination on your life. But the problem with Christians is that we are walking on earth as if all there is about our life is luck and chance. Luck and chance is not a factor of destiny. Luck and chance is not a force of destiny. One of the major things God considers to lift up a man is what he has written concerning that man. If God has written that you will be a leader, everything you are going through is part of the process. If God has written that you will be an apostle, everything you are going through is part of the process. And so instead of breaking down, instead of giving up,
Tell yourself, this is my path. I know I will come out of this. I know tomorrow is better. I know I'm going somewhere. This is the story of Joseph. Did you not read about Joseph? The moment he saw that stars were bowing to him, the moon was bowing to him, his warfare began. His brothers hated him. His father rebuked him. And they threw him into a pit. It was part of the process. They took him out and sold him. It was part of the process. He went to Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife accused him. It was part of the process. He was thrown into prison. He was part of the process. You will never hear Joseph say, God, why are you behaving with me like this? Oh, my life is finished. He never spoke like that. He knew he was going somewhere. And you know, because you don't have enough money to sponsor your destiny, sometimes God will allow men help you. Some of those men will come with good intentions. Some will come with bad intentions. All of that is part of your transport fare. The ones that took you to the prison, hear this. If they don't send you to prison, you will never meet the butler. Because where you are supposed to meet the butler is in the prison. And if you don't go to prison, nobody will invite you to the palace. So everything happening to you, whether good or bad, is part of your transport fare to destiny. It's in the pit that Judah comes and says, no, we can't treat our brother like this. Let's sell him. It's in selling him that he meets Potiphar. It's in meeting Potiphar that he meets Potiphar's wife. It's because of Potiphar's wife that he went to prison. It's because of prison that he met the butler. And it's because of the butler that he met Pharaoh. And the Bible said until the time that his word came. It said the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent for to lose him. Even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance. To bind his princes at his pleasure. To teach his senators wisdom. Where will he get the wisdom from to teach his senators? If he has not gone through those vicissitudes of life. When a Christian gives up, it means he doesn't understand ordination. When a Christian is frustrated, it means he doesn't understand ordination. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. It says, although the fig tree might not blossom, the labor of the olive might fail. Are you seeing that? Neither shall there be fruit in the vine. The labor of the olive might fail. He said, the field shall not yield no meat. And he said, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no head in the stores. But this is what a man of ordination says. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Because these things may take me unaware. He didn't take my God unaware. When he sent me to the earth, he knew there were serpents and scorpions. When he sent me to the earth, he knew there were enemies. When he sent me to the earth, he knew demons were here. He knew principalities were here. He knew haters were here. But he sent me all the same because I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Listen to me. Don't let anything break you. Did you read the story of Job? When everything was lost, Job sat down and he said, I beheld and I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Even his wife said, curse God and die. He said, no. Are we going to receive good from God and reject evil? Anything that comes our way is part of our destiny. It's part of our rising. If it is good, we receive it. If it is bad, we contend with it until we pass through. Because we must pass through. It's a journey to destiny. This is where we build confidence from. And if you don't know this one, you can't know the others. Because the many things that will come against you. Sometimes you need to read the story of great men. Why do you think the story of great men are inspiring? If they tell you about any great man and say he was born, he went to school, and he was favored, and he became rich, you will throw it away. That's not a great man. That's a lucky man. When they tell you about a great man, they will tell you the challenges that ordinary men could not conquer that he overcame. Those are the part of their stories that becomes a message for a generation. They will tell you how many times the devil fought him. They will tell you how many times men fought him. They will tell you how many times he came to the end of the road, but he never gave up. And so even when there was no road, God created a new one because of him. It's called ordination. The power of ordination. That's the gift God gave to every man. That before you came,
something was written concerning you.
Don't think we forgot about you. Don't think you are stranded. The devil may make you feel you are stranded, but remember, it was not the devil that sent you here. I sent you here, and I know the thoughts I think towards you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil. I have a hope. I have a future. I have an end for you. If you latch on to ordination, give it time, you must rise. Nothing can stop you, because something was written. It was written about me to do your will, O God. I come in the volumes. It was written about me. I come in the volume. See what the Bible wrote in Isaiah 60 verse 15. This is the story of every man of ordination. Isaiah 60:15, he said, whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee. He said, I will make thee an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. Because what God wrote is before time began, and it will remain until after time. You shall be a joy of many generations. And so when the arrows come, when the attacks come, you may fall, but seven times rise up again. Tell the devil, we are not going anywhere. Something was written. I have found it, and I'm walking according to it. I am in my destiny. I'm in my ordination. I'm in my season. Nothing can take me down. That's the key for men who rise. Ordination. Number two. What is the key? The secret for rising? Consecration. Every ordination comes with a consecration. When you see the life of Joseph, the reason he passed through zigzag kind of pathways, yet he arrived, was because his consecration was intact. Genesis 39 verse 9. How can I do this evil and sin against God? The day you violate consecration, that day you change your path of destiny. Because every suggestion of compromise is to reroute you from the path of ordination. Hope you know, if Joseph slept with Potiphar's wife, he would have become the chief houseboy. And that would have become the zenith of his life. There would never have been anything like throne or palace. Because he would have rerouted himself. And there's nothing God would have done. God rather would have raised another one in his stead. Any man who wants to rise must take consecration as a life and death matter. It's rather you die keeping your consecration than to compromise to receive momentary breakthroughs. Those breakthroughs are deceptions. They are a mirage that takes you away from destiny. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, they gave them an option. And the Bible said, Daniel and his friends refused to be defied by the portion of the king's meat. Because what they give to the king is first of all offered to idols. And they would not change their allegiance. They will not change their worship, because they knew it was the hand of God that will lead them. Hope you know, these men were circumcised. They were eunuchs. So they were made slaves perpetually. But they knew something about consecration. That if we don't define ourselves, although men can bring us to the lowest level of life, God can rise us. And in the same scripture, Daniel 1 from verse 17 to 20, story is about to change. And it said the king called for all of the people that were in training. And he said, of everything the king communed with them, he said, Daniel and his friends were 10 times better than their peers. Immediately they stood out. If they had failed the test of consecration, their destiny would have wasted. If you want to rise, listen, don't allow hardship cause you to compromise. Hardship is part of ordination. While you are going through that hardship, keep your consecration. Not too long, the hand of God will appear. Because God wants your journey to be a testimony to another person. How do you think the Bible was written with the story of this man? What would we have learned? In Romans 15 verse 4, it said the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. So the things this man went through was a message to another generation. Hardship doesn't kill anybody. It trains those who are ready to grow, and those who are not ready, it gives them an opportunity to compromise. One will enter destiny, another one will fall out of destiny. Keep your consecration. There's something about consecration that becomes the basis for the lifting of men. There is something about consecration. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19, it said the standard of the Lord standeth sure. It said, therefore the Lord knoweth them that are his. It said, they that nameth the name of the Lord must depart from iniquity. Few years ago, when I was teaching in a secondary school, they were paying me 25,000 naira. When YF comes, you'll see many teachers collecting bribe, writing YF for this one, writing YF for that one. Most of those students now are my disciples. Imagine if I was cheating for them in YF. And then I will come now and say, Apostle. They will say, Apostle. They will say, is this how porous the altar is? This, that means anybody can become anything, no. But they knew there was a testimony. Some of the teachers I was working with, when they come to work, somebody will come to work 8:30, he will write 7:10. Because he doesn't want TSB to query him. And when some of us are coming to write our name, they'll say, wait, oh, Pastor, wait, wait, wait. They will come and write. Because they know if we come 8:40, we'll write 8:40. And when we write, no other person can write. Oh God, wait, wait, wait. You will line up, people are writing name. All of those people know today that I'm an apostle. Imagine if I was compromising with them. Which message would I be preaching? But God was watching. God was watching. From that secondary school, as the HOD chemistry, you need to see my office. When I enter my office, my size too was tall. So when I sit on it, I lean on my table like a king. With 25,000 naira, doing well. And suddenly, from there, a revival broke out. During break time, I'm talking, the students are packed out. They are not going for break. What is happening? There's a preacher who is now a chemistry teacher. And the windows will be clustered. And the power of God is hitting them. The power of God is hitting them. From there, doors began to open. I will preach one message. It goes viral. Because God has commanded an angel, when he's talking, be blowing a trumpet. And when we talk, the angel will blast the trumpet. And somebody will hear in Congo. Somebody will hear in Brazil. Somebody will hear in Ghana. And he was just blasting trumpet. From there, a point came. I went to the principal and told him, I love this job, but you see, we can't be here anymore. The nations are calling us. The nations. Hallelujah! 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 I appreciate your leadership, but you see, we can't be here again. Nations are calling. Nations. Those days, you will gather 300 scripts of YEC and math. They will be paying you 6 naira 50 kobo for one book. When you finish marking for 5 days without sleeping, they will now give you 15,000. And God was watching. You had opportunity to compromise. A big man's son will come and the father will say, help my son. If he pass, I'll give you this. You say no. And when we left there, what we were earning sometimes in 10 years, we started earning in 1 month. 10 years in 1 month. Today, sometimes, I went to a place to preach. They had not given me an honorarium. Somebody who heard the message was so blessed, and he wouldn't sleep. His body was to change the status of my account. And one alert was more than my 10 years salary 3 years ago. And then you are asking, what's going on? Consecration. When God lifts you, the difference will be like night and day. But one thing God will look at is whether he can trust you with power. The whole idea behind consecration is you proving to God that he can trust you with power. Because where he wants to take you to, there are many contentions there. And so when you are keeping your consecration, you are telling God, I can be trusted. You are telling God, I am reliable by the help of your grace. And so a point comes, God raises you without thinking. Because he knows anywhere you go, you represent his interest. Consecration, the second mystery for rising. Sit down. The third mystery for rising is seasons. When God wants to lift a man, he occasions a season. When that season comes, the line suddenly begins to fall for you in pleasant places. The way season works is that you don't even need to do anything. All you need to do is to be aligned. And the lines are just falling in pleasant places. Look at Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. A prophet rose up and said, a virgin shall give birth. He didn't call anybody's name. A virgin shall give birth. He just spoke something and created a futuristic season. A virgin shall give birth. She shall bear a son. His name shall be called Emmanuel. And people were walking through time until that season came. The moment that season came, an angel was sent from heaven. And the angel traced a young virgin and said, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. It's not because she was doing anything special. She was just aligned. And because she was aligned and her name was mentioned in the high heavens, she suddenly became a wonder. See what Mary said about herself in Luke 1:48. I'm showing you how men are lifted. And there is something I will teach you here to help you not to miss your season. It said, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. She never had the title of an apostle. She just aligned to a prophetic season. And immediately, something changed forever that made her to become a blessing for all generations. How? You know the problem with many Christians? They miss their seasons. They lose the cycles of their destiny. And so a door opens, they don't enter. Another door opens, they don't enter. If you miss your season, to a very large extent, you will never rise. And there are two things about a season that every spiritual man must be conscious of. Number one, I divided it into three. Burdens. Every time a new season is coming your way, you will discover that your appetites will begin to change. Find out from any spiritual man, he will tell you. That's why you have to be spiritually sensitive. So that when your appetites begin to change, you will know. There are certain seasons that are coming your way. Suddenly, hunger for prayer will increase. You will know this is not normal. Sometimes, desire for fasting will begin to increase. Sometimes, desire to give will begin to increase. Sometimes, desire to serve will begin to give, to increase. You just come to a place, you are not comfortable sitting down. You just want to serve. You just want to do something. They say, no, don't worry. You say, no, I want to serve. Because those buttons are required for you to be able to bet that season. In Exodus chapter 2 from verse 11, the Bible says, when Moses was come of age, something began to happen to him. Moses started developing a new appetite. Up until that time, he was enjoying the pleasures of Egypt. But when that season came, Moses suddenly went out and went to see the camp of the Israelites. And he said, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied on an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he said, when he looked here and there and nobody was seeing, he held the Egyptian and slew him. The next day, he came again. He left the music in the palace. He left the buffet in the palace. He left the luxury. A new appetite had been born. And he started servicing that appetite. when he looked at the two Hebrew boys fighting the next day, he said, you are brethren. So the burden that Moses found was desire for his brethren. And that desire became stronger than the pleasure of Egypt. Imagine if he didn't respond to that prompting and he remained in Egypt, he would never have become a prophet. And Moses was not just a prophet. In Exodus 7 verse 1, God said, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. At best, he would have been one of the princes of Egypt. But now, he had risen to a rank. He had become an immortal. So much so that when Jesus was on earth, on the Mount of Transfiguration, in Matthew 17 verse 2 and 3, it was Moses and Elijah they sent from heaven to come and give him messages. Which prince of Egypt would outlive that era? Not one. But a man understood how seasons are captured through bodies. Many Christians have bought the hunger, the appetite, and the burden of seasons. That's why they don't go anywhere. There are seasons that come upon you. It becomes like a scene to watch a movie. When you sit down to watch a movie, the Holy Ghost in you will literally be grieved and you will feel it. If you don't respond to the burdens of that season, you will never rise. Those who know me know there was a season of my life. Every day, 6 to 6, I fasted for 5 years. I never knew God was about to make me a voice to the nations. If there were days I didn't fast in those 5 years, it was few. But it was a season. I didn't know something was happening in heaven. Election was going on in heaven, and they were looking for new apostles. They were looking for new voices, and God needed me to align, because my hunger was my way of responding that, Lord, I'm present. If I ate those seasons, I won't be here talking to you. If you miss your season, what you should have done, you will do it 1,000 times outside of season, it will still not count. It's just like a farmer going to plant in dry season. If you like, plant 10 bags of rice where you should plant 100 seeds. No rice will grow because you have missed your season. So people are putting extra effort because they are out of season. But the first indicator that a season has opened is body. The second indicator that a season has opened is encounters. Don't trivialize encounters. You went to sleep, you had a dream. The next day the dream continued, you think it was normal. And then you still go back and you relax. You are about to miss a destiny. And the moment they have an encounter, even if that encounter is faint, they will put pressure on that encounter until something divine is born out of it. Go and ask some of the people with the greatest destiny. No angel appeared to them. They were just reading the Bible, and a verse of scripture became real to them. As faint as that encounter is, they will carry that verse and go for 40 days fasting. Just a verse. They will go for 40 days fasting. And when they come back, a great business will be born. I am reading the whole Bible. And it got to Psalm 2, verse 8. You have read that scripture 1,000 times. But when he read it, something ministered to him. That God can give me nations as an inheritance. The guy went on a long fast. That was the scripture that begged the wealthiest man. I think he was from Zimbabwe at the time. Strife Masiyiwa. He was the one who pioneered Econet Mobile, because he read Psalm 2 verse 8. You, an angel, appeared to you. All you are doing with it is to brag. You go up and say, yes, two angels came to me yesterday. And you talk away your season. Whereas, those seasons are openers. Those encounters are openers into great seasons. When you have encounters, don't talk about them. Go and war with them. Pray with them. Fast with them until those encounters become prophecies. It will open you to a great destiny. But people who don't know how men rise, when they have encounters, they trivialize it. Did you not read about Mary? The moment Gabriel spoke to her and told her, your cousin Elizabeth is with child, the next day she gathered her bag. She was heading to meet Elizabeth. Because she knew if she sat where she was sitting, that encounter can be aborted. And so immediately she went to Elizabeth. The moment Elizabeth saw her, she was filled with the Holy Ghost. The baby in her womb leaped for joy, and she began to prophesy. Why has the mother of my Lord come to see me? When she finished prophesying, the Spirit entered Mary. Mary too, for the first time, began to prophesy. What would have happened if she remained where she had that encounter? Probably nothing would have happened. too many of us are sitting on supernatural encounter. That's why we have not risen. Dangerous encounter. Some of you hearing me here, you have seen the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, but you are still where you are sitting because you did nothing about it. Meanwhile, the encounter that begs an apostle is an encounter with Jesus. Anybody who tells you he's an apostle, he has seen Jesus. You will not find any apostle who has never encountered Jesus. Even Paul said, "Have I not seen the Lord?" Ask anybody who says he's an apostle, he can tell you where he met Jesus. And there are many people with apostolic mantles, but they have not gone anywhere. You know what they are doing with it? They are priding with their friends. Jesus came to me. I saw in Jeremiah. I saw in Gabriel. And they are irrelevant in their destiny because they didn't follow the demands of the encounters they had. When you want to rise in your season, you must do something about your encounters. And finally, warfare. Most great seasons come with battles. Go and ask Moses, he will tell you. The moment his season manifested, Pharaoh became his enemy. In fact, he ran for his life. It's not every warfare you bind demons for. When certain warfare begin to come to you, go back to your closet and ask the Holy Ghost questions. Lord, what are you saying? Because sometimes we are too distracted. So the only way God will allow us to focus on our destiny is when he allows warfare. Suddenly everybody is gossiping you. Suddenly everybody is bitter against you. Suddenly your name is all over the place. Don't fight. Withdraw. And find out what is going on. What is going on? Perhaps the Joseph mantle is about to rest on you. Because when certain mantles come, they attract warfare. So most of your warfare are a summon to the secret place to ask God questions so that he can give you the compass of your destiny. But if you don't know how seasons work, when they fight you, you say, these people don't know who they are joking with. I will give it back to them, bumper to bumper. And what you don't know is that you are aborting a season. Our battle is not with men, it's with spirits. Men are only puppets that spirits use. And so if the spirit is using people to envy you, don't be distracted. If it's using spirits to lie, men to lie against you, don't be distracted. Find out, whose season have I entered? Is it the Davidic season? Is it the Joseph season? Is it the Moses season? Is it the Elijah season? Is it the John the Baptist season? Because every season has a signature in the spirit. And most of your seasons will come with battles. There are certain seasons that come to you. Suddenly, all your finances shut down. You are looking around, no money is coming from anywhere. And you are wondering, what is going on? They are drawing your attention to something. You are too carried away by pleasure. And so what God is doing is that he is turning your attention to something eternal. And so when you try all you know to do and nothing is working, withdraw and ask questions. This is why the prayer of inquiry is too important in the college of lifting. Father, what are you saying? And God will tell you, you need to pray for 2 years because there is a mantle coming on your life. You need stamina to host it. Did you not read about John? He said he was in the wilderness, Luke 1:80, until the day of a showing forth unto Israel. I'm telling you how men rise. And I'm not talking about spiraling up like a star. I'm talking about rising that even if hell rises up against you, they can't stop you. If a man rises genuinely, battles makes his glory sharper. Nothing can pull him down. He becomes the representation of the signature of God. The reason you find some people spiral up and spiral down is because they didn't pass through this protocol. They just came alive by coincidence, came alive by chance. When a man rises genuinely, if you fight him, you are wasting your time. Try to shut him down, you are wasting your destiny. Many people fail in destiny because they wasted their said your life. So what you need to do is to be sensitive. He said the sons of Issachar, they had understanding of times and seasons and knew what Israel ought to do. 1 Chronicles 12:22. You need to discern your respond to bodies, to this, you interpret your work. Faith without work is dead. In a company, God appears, it will happen. God shows you, you are an apostle to the nation. Start preaching in your neighborhood. People can say you are ambitious. Go for hospital visitation. In fact, sometimes God told me I will be a voice to the nations from this school. The woman said all this to me. I want to lose them. And she was defending her business. Meanwhile, that was a Christian. When I left there, my heart broke. Several people say, don't move us. Our skin now, they think you'll be offended. You'll come out the next day more fireful than the previous day. Because this skin is now thick. There were times when I was rejected and my heart will be broken. After 2 years, God inspired me. I started again. But this time, I left primary school and went to secondary school. And the way I entered secondary school, I entered now as a teacher. So when I'm teaching chemistry, after a while, I will pause. When I call an atom, I will now use an atom to teach about the invisible realm. Since you cannot see an atom is not the only thing you cannot see. There is about Gabriel. When I start talking about the angelic host, then children, they will become interested. Their ears will open. Then I will come to Jesus. When I finish, I'll do a tackle. They will be healed. They will be saved. The next day, I enter another class. I'm teaching. They will say, why are you feeling pain on your head? He will shout, how did you know? I'm having a headache. I said, don't worry. It's called the prophetic. And so I begin to tell them about radiation, the way the prophetic works. And then I start talking to them about knowing things without reading. Down to read, but you cannot know. At that level, even the principal cannot kick me out. Goes with fire. Because it's not my fault that I was teaching and the atmosphere changed. Sometimes when I'm talking, then I'll just call Elijah. A student is called Elijah. Then I'll tell him, do you know the tribe of Elijah? Do you know about the Tishbite? And then I'll start talking about the possibility of calling down fire from heaven. Fire. Fire. And I enter there. And students are cheering. My class, nobody misses it. Meanwhile, the way I teach, I don't carry lecture notes. I give them notes of 20 pages from my head. Equations. I'm solving things. So they are looking at me. They say, what is this? I say, there is an elevated realm in the Holy Ghost. There are some teachers that use notes. There are other teachers that angels whisper to. I'm giving notes. They will be copying notes from my head. They will go and tell their friends. Before you know, the whole hostel is on fire. They said there's a teacher. This man was with me there now. They used to call him man of God. They said there's a teacher here. There's a teacher. He doesn't use notes. So when I'm in SS3A, people are coming from B. I said, no, there's a teacher in your class. Go back. Go back to your class. They started loving God. They started loving God. Because you must take action. That was why we went to many secondary schools. Not just because of the salary. We needed to take action. And when God saw that we knew how to maximize season, He opened more seasons. Because the branch that produces fruit, He prunes that it may produce much more. The secret of right. People will look at you and think you just appeared. When it has to do with manifestation, you can appear suddenly. But there is a process. There's a massive process. And part of it is your ability to discern your season and to take the right action. The first thing about lifting is humility. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 to 7. It says, God will exalt the humble, but He will resist the proud. These are powerful principles. Listen, the devil will always want to inspire you to prove a point. You don't have to. God is the one that proves points on your behalf. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. James 4:10. In due season, it says God will exalt you. In Proverbs 29:23, it says a man's pride shall bring him low. It says, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. When you find men who are being lifted and being lifted and being lifted, check at the foundation of their life is a robust technology of humility. In Luke 14:11, it says, for whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and him that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That is why in Luke 1:52, when Mary was speaking, it said, he had put down the mighty from their seat and he has exalted them that are of low degree. If where you want to go to is the top, the technology is to face down. As you face down in humility, the God that lifts men will by his mighty hand lift you up. And when he does, nobody can bring you down. Nobody under heaven. Humility is the key to rising. Our generation is too proud and arrogant. And you see, there are two dimensions of pride. There is the arrogant pride and there is the subtle pride. The people who are subtly proud are the worst type of proud people. You see them, they say it's well, don't worry, okay sir, yes sir. You don't know what's in their heart. The day they are offended, they will shock you. What will come out of their mouth will let you know that that thing they were doing was a shadow of religion. In fact, when you find somebody who is so eager about showing that he's humble, leave him alone. That is pride in disguise. He wants everybody to know that he's humble. He's overly... See, leave him alone. It's a technology of pride. The way you check is, let him do something. Don't appreciate him. And you'll be shocked how offended he will be. Always let somebody offend him and see how difficult it will be for him to forgive. People who are subtly proud, you may never dictate it. There are few ways of dictating them. Number one, when you don't appreciate them, they are highly offended. Number two, when they are offended, they hardly forgive. When you find a man who cannot forgive, the foundation is pride. And then the third way you dictate them is that it's difficult for them to work with others. They think they know too much. They are the one telling you it's okay, but they can't even allow their leader to dictate what happens. And God does not read your action, he reads your heart first. He said, men look on the outward. He said, but God looks at the heart. If you want God to lift you, you must humble your heart in humility. The fifth way for lifting men is by wisdom. When God wants to raise you up, he will bless you with wisdom. There is something about wisdom that lifts men to the top. In Proverbs 23, 24 verse 3 and 4, it says, through wisdom is an house builded. By understanding it is established, and by knowledge all the chambers are filled with good things. So one of the ways God establishes a man or a system is by wisdom. Did you not read about Solomon? The way his kingdom was established was not by military might. Imagine the drastic shift in operation. David, his father, was a warrior, fought 66 battles and didn't lose any. The reason David was mighty was because of strength. And then David switched over to Solomon, and suddenly there was no battle. And Solomon will achieve the same peace that David was able to achieve through warfare, but by wisdom. In fact, in Solomon's time, he didn't just rise up. He was established with great wealth. People came just to hear his wisdom. In our world today, if you want the mighty to associate with you, come with wisdom. Nobody can despise wisdom. Wisdom is one of the men. Many people don't rise because they don't know how to deal with men. The second aspect of wisdom God will give you is with resources. There are some people, the resources that you translate to their rising, they waste it. Who told you that you cannot save as a copper? Who told you that you cannot save or invest as a student? It is not about where you are in life. It's about the operation of wisdom that has become a culture. If you cannot save with the little you have, if you cannot invest with the little you have, when you have much, you still waste it. It's not about how much. It's about how wise. And so wisdom is the key for lifting. That's why James said, if you lack wisdom, pray to God that giveth liberally and unbraideth not. Let him give you wisdom. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. By all means, get wisdom. And he said, in all thy getting, get understanding. Don't see any great person and assume his anointing and power alone. There are many anointed men who are wasting. When you see systems working, check. There's a wisdom at work. Every success is a manifestation of wisdom in motion. You can be more gifted than everybody, yet languish in obscurity, because your operation is not encoded with wisdom. And then number six, the way God lifts men is through prophecy. He said the house kept growing by the prophesying of Haggai the priest and Zechariah the son of Iddo. Every time prophecies go forth, men must rise. In Genesis 49 verse 10, when Jacob wanted to establish his children, it was not with donkeys and camels. It was with prophetic words. He said, gather around me, you sons of Jacob. I will tell you the things that will befall you. And in verse 10 of that scripture, he said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, neither the lawgiver from in between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And he made Judah a king forever by prophecy. Even dry bones can become a mighty army by prophecy. In Ezekiel 37 from verse 1 to 9, he said, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me to the valley of dry bones. And he said, indeed the bones were dry. And he said, the Lord spoke to him, mortal man, can this bone live? He said, only thou knowest. He said, prophesy. And he began to prophesy. Bones joined to bone. Flesh came upon bones. The wind came, filled them, and an exceeding great army rose up. See, nothing lifts men faster than prophecy. If you want to rise, if there's no prophet over your life, or God, become the prophet over your life. Wake up in the morning, carry scriptures, shoot them into your future. I am the head, not the tail. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Everything I do, prosper. Do it for 2 months. You will be shocked how your life will move forward. Because your life is waiting for words. It says, carry with you words. The problem with many people is that they are waiting for a prophet to call them out in a stadium and say, look at this man. This is the next apostle to the generation. When I was growing, there was a time I became offended. I will go for meeting. The person sitting by my left, they will call him and give him word of knowledge. I will lift my hand. I will tiptoe so that they will see me. Sometimes I will come to the front. When they say in Jesus' name, I will say amen. So that the man of God will see me. I didn't know that it was not with physical eyes. They gave all my friends prophecies. All of them. We will go for meetings. Sometimes they will call and say, there's an apostolic horn. And the person will lift his hand. After that meeting, the person will start walking like a man of God. And those of us who never receive words, we will be hoping that one day God will remember us. When we go for another meeting, they will call the other one and say, I see that you have prophetic dreams. Watch out. In the couple of months, your horn will be exalted. I will look around and say, are these prophets fake? Or is something covering my own destiny? All my life, it's only once a prophet called me and gave me a word. And what he told me, he said, you are not a pastor. My heart started beating. You are not a pastor. He said, listen to me. He said, you are an apostle, you are a prophet, you are an evangelist. That was the first day I had some soccer. Me too. I started going home like an apostle. But see the point I'm making. When that man gave me prophecy, I was already manifesting. Do you know why? Because God blessed me. I met a man called Pastor Chris Akilove. I saw a man that nobody prophesied to. I saw a man that nobody laid hands on. I saw a man that was rejected and despised, but there was something he knew. Every time we met him, he will say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He will say, whoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. He kept prophesying to himself. And so I learned it. Me too, I will carry verses of scripture and I'll be declaring. Ask my friends, they will tell you. When we finish from prayer meeting, everybody is going home and prophesying. I will tell them, we will shake this world. We will shake this world. Sometimes they will follow me to the road. We will stand on the road and I'll be telling them how we will go from nation to nation. How we will go from city to city. How we will preach the gospel with signs and with wonders. There was no prophet prophesying. And so we took responsibility to prophesy over our destiny. If you keep your mouth shut, your destiny will be short. Dr. Paul Enenche said, a short mouth is a short destiny. You want to rise? You rise by the words you speak. He said, put me in remembrance of my words. He said, by thy words, thou shalt be justified, and by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. And so the sixth secret for rising is to choke yourself with the word of God. Saturate your future with the word. He said, if the heavens be full of rain, of necessity, they must send water back to the earth. Finally, how do men rise? By the ministry of a sent man. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 8, he said he sent his word to Jacob. He lightened upon Israel. Many times, when God wants to lift men, he sends men to them. Paul encountered Jesus, Acts chapter 9, from verse 4 to verse 6, in his glory. And Jesus told him, go into the city. You'll be told what you must do. And Jesus went in verse 10 and troubled another man called Ananias to go and ordain Paul into ministry. How can a man meet Jesus in glory and still need to meet another man? The reason many of us never rise is our arrogance. We think everything begins and ends with us. Some years ago, I thought to myself that the world was missing, not having met me, until God opened my eyes that there are men that carry things. Even if you come to heaven, you will go back to earth to find them. Because Paul saw Jesus in his glory, he needed to encounter Ananias. Do you know Ananias said, Lord, why will I go to this man who is persecuting the church? God said, just go. And the moment he entered, he said, brother Saul, the Lord that you met on your way here has sent me to you. He said, now rise up. And that was how he laid hands on him. Scales fell off his eyes. He began to see, and a great apostolic ministry was born. Does it not shock you that the Ananias that ordained Paul was not known? He didn't have a title. He was called a disciple. Our arrogance is that a man will sit with a person to open his destiny, but is waiting for an apostle from another nation to come and lay hands on him. He is waiting for a father of faith to lay hands on him and let it be snapped so that the whole world will know. I have met many fathers, and I don't despise desiring them to pray for you. But I'm telling you, don't miss the man God has sent to you. You may be more anointed than that man. You may be more popular than that man. But your destiny is at his mercy. If he speaks, your destiny will open. If men are to rise, men must be sent to them. You saw the story of Samuel and Saul. God wanted to raise Saul. But God had to manipulate Saul until he met Samuel. The same thing happened to David. He had to meet Samuel for him to rise. There are many kings that have never been ordained because they have despised their people who should ordain them. They think their soul is blessed the better. And there are two categories of people you must honor. Number one, they are your parents. If they honor your father and your mother. He said, this is the first commandment with promise. He said, if you do it, your days on earth shall be long. Ephesians 6, verse 2 and 3. And number two, they are spiritual men that God sends your way. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe in his prophet, so shall ye prosper. You know what this generation is doing? The devil is raising men to paint every man of God as fake. So that a day will come that, what if all these men of God withdraw? What will become of the body? So it is the light of God they are fighting. I know they are fake people. And the Holy Ghost will keep giving us discernment to know them and to avoid them. There are certain men that carry your ordination. Don't, because of the norm of society, miss those men when they pass. The Bible says, be careful to receive men. It says, some have missed even angels. Because they built the culture of despising men. And this thing does not begin and end with time. In Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey them that have rule over you. It says, when they give account of you, so that they will give it with joy. It says, for it is profitable unto you. Honor men. Some of them carry your next season. Even those of us who are ministers here, there are men who carry our next season. And we know. I'm not talking about the religion of running after everybody. I'm talking about true discernment. Finding those who bear the key of the land.
When I came into Abuja, God led me to a woman called Mommy Sarah Omaku. You need to see a woman of stature. When I finished preaching, she said, come, my son. Who is calling you apostle? Come. See, when you meet people who have stature, it's beautiful. When she started talking, nobody told me, I knelt down. And she came audaciously and laid hands on me. And she said, I open this city to you. Don't joke, oh. You will tie yourself in one location. I open this season to you. And we started from day one with ease up till today. Up till today with ease. Because a woman said, I open this city to you. As if that was not enough, I went to the place of prayer and God showed me a vision of Dr. Pastor Paul. Really. In that season, as God will have it, I didn't even know how to access him. And it's not in my repertoire to start pursuing men. I prefer to touch them in the spirit. But God was leading me to a man. It was that same season that he asked of me, where is this young man? I hear of him. Tell him to come and see me. Really. Immediately I went there. I prepared myself. And when I showed up, the man laid hands on me. My body melted. Me that thought I have interacted with glory. Intensities are different too. The man laid hands. It was not in a service, in his office. Take that power. I stood up. I was walking out. I collapsed. I checked myself. I stood well. I have traveled in the spirit. What's going on here? I've contacted some dimension. I've touched some ways of glory. I was walking. I fell again. Dude had to hold me. And that was how they carried me from the office. He told me, go and do a 3-day fast. Come back. After fasting for 3 days, he took me to the altar. And that was when he spoke as a patriarch. He said, every tongue that have risen against you, I cancel it. You don't know secret. You don't know secret. Do you know the battles that I have fought in 2 years? I would have crashed. But a man of rank. He said, every tongue that have risen against you, I cancel it. He said, every gangor against you, I scatter it. He said, every negative desire about your destiny, I stop it. And he was giving prophecy, commandments, and laws in the spirit. When he was done, he said, now hear this. I plant into your destiny new dimensions. I open this city to you. I write a commandment. Go forward and prosper. I was on the floor. He emptied a bottle of oil on my head. And when he finished, he walked away. He doesn't need to be there. He has finished his work. See, if you despise men, you are finished. That's why some of the battles that should have pulled up down, when they come against us, they see another man too. Because when a man puts his spiritual credibility on you, his angels begin to defend you. It's a law in the spirit. See, some people think why we honor men is because of relevance by association. Church is not politics. Relevance by association may happen in the world, not in the kingdom. In this kingdom, it is the spirit of God that he takes from a man and puts on another man. If God does not invest that grace on you, if you like, hug them everywhere, it will translate to nothing. Even the men of God, some of them, their children don't carry what other people have received from them. Their children that carry their DNA and their names. Because there's nothing like relevance by association in the kingdom. It's transparency of spirit. It says, get Joshua, a man in whom is the spirit. Lay your hands upon him. I will take some of the honor that is upon your life and put on him. That's how men rise.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.